Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. An ex-Marine smashing his pickup into an LDS church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, opening fire and setting the building ablaze. Four people were killed, the gunman also killed in a shootout with police. With just hours to go before the federal government shuts down, President Trump will meet today with top Democratic and Republican leaders in Congress. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington with more on what each side wants.
Democrats are demanding a new funding bill that reverses Medicaid cuts and extends expiring Obamacare subsidies to prevent health insurance premiums from rising for millions of Americans. Republicans are pushing for a more simple short-term funding fix to keep the government running until November 20th. A shutdown would mean millions of federal employees, including members of the military, TSA officers, and ICE agents, would work without pay until the government reopens.
Missouri lawmakers agreeing to new congressional maps, just like Texas, that will likely give the GOP more seats in the midterms next year. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Firefighters with the Oshkosh Fire Department will have a new schedule starting in 2026. It's part of a contract between the International Association of Firefighters Local 316 and the city. The schedule has firefighters working 48 hours on and 96 hours off on a rotating basis. Oshkosh Fire Chief Tim Hyman.
48-96, where it's two shifts on, four shifts off. Kind of originated in the West Coast, became very popular, it's kind of migrated to the Midwest now.
Oshkosh Mayor Matt Mugerauer expressed concern for such long shifts.
48 hours, in my mind, would be a very long time with the amount of calls that they help take care of daily, weekly, monthly, yearly.
Hyman explained the new shifts would allow firefighters more time to decompress and would also lead to better mental health and more family time.
With the longer duration of time in between shifts, the recovery time they're finding is much better. Even though in our current shift you're off for a day in between, you're not really getting a good amount of rest in that one 24-hour period in between, where when you have the 4 days off, you're able to recover much better and come back to your next shift in a little better shape.
Hyman also noted that the labor market for firefighters is very competitive, and a change in shifts will make a good recruitment tool.
A lot of our prospective employees, that's one of the first questions they ask, is what type of shift we work. The 48-96 is definitely the shift that a lot of our newer people are looking for.
Meanwhile, Oshkosh's firefighters have been working without a contract for about 20 months, according to a story in the Oshkosh Northwestern. This new contract includes back raises for 2024 and 25, as well as upcoming raises in 2026. The Common Council voted unanimously to approve the agreement as part of its consent agenda last week. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
An overtime that ends in a tie. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers and the Cowboys played a full overtime period and Green Bay kicking a field goal to end the game in a 40-40 tie. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on why he's disappointed heading into the bye.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. Give Dallas credit. They did a great job offensively, you know, moving the ball down the field. But there's a lot of things that we all have to clean up, starting with myself. I mean, we're trying to be aggressive at the end of the half. That really bit us in the butt.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 4-2 win at home Sunday over the Cincinnati Reds to close out the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
You know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. You know, I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for the 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sally Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 29th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on YouTube, Facebook, podcast, however you got here. It's nice of you to start your work week right here, where maybe you're a little more tuckered out than others, or maybe not. Maybe you were a little wiser than that. So I got a question for you. Aren't you glad you didn't stay awake for that stinkeroo? Huh, Parker? Parker Olson, producer. Aren't you glad you didn't stay up for that mess? That boy, do I feel better that I went to bed. Aren't you glad? Parker, wake up. Parker.
Pat.
You stayed up for the game. You stayed up for the overtime.
I stayed up for that freaking game.
For
and
a
watched
tie.
A tie. A tie in which Matt LaFleur did all the stupid things he's been doing stupidly for a long, stupid time. And I feel stupid for having stayed up for such a stupidly long amount of time. And Pat, I had slept on a couch on Saturday night, so I wasn't well rested to begin with on Sunday.
This all sounds stupid.
It's very stupid, Pat.
It was a stupid Sunday for Parker and for Packers clock management and all the other things to end up in a 40-40 tie. Now, I went to bed after the Packers scored and made it 20-16, and I.
So you
I
woke up knew. And went, oh.
I went up, woke up, and saw 40-40 time. Like, oh man, good call out of you. So, I had a full weekend as it was. I was at the Brewer game Saturday night, and you know, some traveling over the weekend, of course, down there to see you guys on Friday. So I was ready Sunday night to go. Especially.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half was not, well, it was stupid too. It was not pretty. I mean, it just wasn't. And so I did not feel like, oh, this game's going to get more exciting and better. And I'm going to want to stay up for that. No, Roger will not answer our question. He says, I'll take the fifth. Yes. It's a good call, Roger. It was, you know, I would love to have come on and said, wow, I'm so sorry I missed it. What a big comeback. Always great to beat Dallas, but that just wasn't in the cards based on the play that we were seeing. And by the way, not the fault of the offensive line, which I thought was going to be the weak point. I thought the offensive line was going to let Jordan Love get sacked 14 times. It didn't happen. The problems were, you know, Jordan Love getting, you know, fumbling when he got sacked. And you know, apparently Matt LaFleur, very bad clock management. But yeah, not the offensive line this time.
Not the offensive line this time. No, weird decision to try to sneak in an extra possession at the end of the half there.
Yes.
That was odd.
And of course, special teams allowing that extra point, which, I mean, to me, it all comes down to that. I know it's more than that, but in my mind, you know, an extra point should be a gimme. And things aren't a gimme because you don't do anything. Things are a gimme because you know the things to do. You know the people to block. And when you let somebody come in, block the extra point, return it for a touchdown, and that's, you know, that's a swing right there. Instead of you getting an extra point, they get 2 points, and the game ends in a tie.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look at that.
A three-point swing really does something there. Yeah.
It was not good. And then apparently what I missed in overtime was that one of the Packers was tackled inbounds on a play that started with 28 seconds left, and they didn't get another snap until 6 seconds were left. I can only imagine the screaming at TVs that were going on at that point. Matt LaFleur said after the game, "I think that goes to the level of detail that we're not where we need to be. The operation was just way too slow. I don't know if our guys didn't know we were in a 2 minute or what." No, I think they knew. I think they can read, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they took a shot. I don't know why they took a shot to the end zone on that. That was even dumber, because then the ball hit the ground with 1 second left.
Yeah, they got they caught a break there. Romeo Doubs caught all three of Jordan Love's touchdown passes, finished with 58 yards on 6 catches. So 58 yards on 6 catches, not good, but 3 touchdown passes, real good.
Very good.
So take it. Josh Jacobs rushed for 2 touchdowns, finished with 157 yards. Love threw for 337 yards. He did not look bad, you know, but there was definitely room for improvement.
They put up 40 points, 37. Yeah, that's a great game.
You can't give up 40 points. You just can't. So we can let this one go because the Packers are now in a bye week, which is interesting because it felt like a bye week before because we had that Thursday night game and then
played so later on.
Yeah. And now we've got an entire bye week. The Packers will next play at home on Sunday, October 12th. That's a 3:25 start. So we can either dwell on this game and the loss to Cleveland for the next 2 weeks, or we can just let it go and cheer for the Brewers. That's my choice.
I'm choosing to wash this one out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just flush it. Let it go. The Brewers won their regular season finale 4-2 over Cincinnati to avoid a sweep. Final record of 97 wins and 65 losses, best in team history, best in baseball this year, which I know all of us who are Brewers fans who watch a lot of the games, we still have a tough time wrapping our head around, we were the best team in baseball this year?
It's weird because
we're so young.
Us.
We're so young. Not everyday household names, you know, but you had those streaks. I mean, those three big winning streaks that accounted for 33 wins. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Danny Jansen hit a 2-run homer yesterday. Trevor McGill made his first appearance back from an injury. He looked pretty good. And then the Reds hung around in the locker room and they clinched the final playoff spot after the New York Mets finished a collapse for the ages.
Matched
or exceeded only by the Detroit Tigers collapse for the ages, but at least Detroit is still in the playoffs, but they're not division champions. They managed to just completely lose an ironclad grasp of the American League East, and instead they did grab a wild card spot. But the New York Mets, second highest payroll in baseball, and it's going to be another long winter for New York baseball.
And now Pete Alonso says he wants out. He's not going to take his option.
No. So
tough.
Sorry, Mets. Let's see. Oh, some other good news for a former Brewer. At some point, we'll stop being happy for Willie Adames, but Willie Adames hit his 30th home run
for
San Francisco.
Hold up. We're never going to stop being happy for Willie Adames.
Okay, we're happy for him personally, but I mean, at some point, it's going to be, that guy in the San Francisco Giants. But you talk about former Brewers, Willie Adames getting 30 home runs. The Giants haven't had a 30 home run hitter since 2004, so that's cool.
I couldn't believe that.
And then the other one, Stephen Vogt. Former Brewer
Stephen
catcher,
now
manager of the Cleveland Guardians, who win the American League Central, overcoming the Detroit Tigers. Stephen Vogt, just one of the real good guys out there.
I forgot that he was their manager. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Just, congratulations to him and to Cleveland and to Tony and all of our favorite Cleveland fans out there. And, condolences to all the Houston Astros fans, because Houston, you got eliminated in the last weekend of the series.
That's a shame.
And then the Cubs Padres, they have the wild card series, and the Brewers will take on the winner of that series this weekend. I'll give you the whole schedule here, but first I have to say, from being at the game on Saturday, which was a lot of fun, Brewers lost, but again, we weren't holding out high hopes, but I was there for for a couple of weeks now, we've been saying we need to put Jacob Mizorowski in the bullpen. We need him to come out of the bullpen and come out strong out of the bullpen. And we got to see him coming out of the bullpen and it just implode. It was not good.
Wasn't great.
It was a 6-run inning when all was said and done. So
yeah,
he's got some time to work on that this week.
He does.
So let me tell you about the Cubs and the Padres, since we're going to play the winner of that series. So they've got a 3-game wild card series at Wrigley Field, and nobody did them any favors on the TV schedules. No primetime games for them. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. So 3-day games at Wrigley Field. So, you know, for Cubs fans, that'll be fun if they can win out of two out of three.
30 years ago, everyone would have said, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's Wrigley. It's a day game. That's how it works.
Yeah, and that's fine. So whichever team gets 2 out of 3 there will be at American Family Field on Saturday playing the Brewers in the National League Division Series, in one of the series. So game one will be this coming Saturday. Game two will be a week from today, next Monday, both of those games in Milwaukee. And then game three will be Wednesday of next week in either Chicago or San Diego. It's a best of five. So 3 out of 5. So we've got the games coming this Saturday, then next week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, if necessary. So there's the setup for the Brewers. Let's see. The Badger football team was off. Thank you. We need that.
And somehow Saturday, they still lost by 2 touchdowns.
Saturday, they are in Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. So you'll be able to hear that pregame starting at 9 a.m. Saturday on some stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. And some good news for the Badger women's volleyball team as well. On Friday, they swept Rutgers at home to open the Big Ten season. Then yesterday, they swept Iowa on the road to go to 9-1. The 7th-ranked Badger women volleyball team will host Illinois this Thursday evening at 7 at the Fieldhouse. And there you are, up to date on sports.
There you go.
A whole lot of sports over the weekend. So
this is true.
And more to follow this week. I mean, with some playoff baseball. We just won't have to think about the Packer game for a while.
Yeah. You know, somebody yelled, a Reds fan yelled at me. Okay. while leaving the Brewer game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That you guys are gonna lose in the first round. And I yelled back at him, and we're not in the first round. You are.
That's nice. That's a good comeback out of you. All right. By the way, classy job by the American Family Field folks. Cincinnati, you know, clinched their spot afterwards while they were in the locker room. And then they later came out for a team photo. I don't know if you saw that, but the
I did, yeah,
American cool. Family Field, they put up a nice, it's like it was a home game for Cincinnati, a big, you know, playoff Cincinnati Reds banner on the scoreboard for their backdrop, which was nice. We're just so nice here in the Midwest.
Well, yeah, of course.
To do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it's the Reds. It's not like it's the Cubs. I don't feel bad about the Reds.
Yeah, I don't think we would have done it for them. I mean, all things in moderation, right? So, all right. A reminder to sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner there. Parker celebrating a big day today. It's National Coffee Day. So you can look for coffee specials at some of your favorite shops. By the way, in case you were wondering about the guy that said he was going to bring down inflation on day one, the average price for a pound of ground roast coffee is now $8.87. That's up 40% from a year ago, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So also in the newsletter today, Buc-ee's is coming to Oak Creek at 73,000 square feet. It will be the largest convenience store in the world. Convenience in quotation marks. 120 gas pumps. That's not a large convenience store. It's a little Walmart. And it's definitely not a quick trip to go visit it. See what I did there? And then, of course, in our newsletters, you can sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter, where my question of the week was, who will cave when it comes to a potential government shutdown this week? Democrats, Republicans, will Trump cave, or will Republicans actually snub Trump and work out a deal that he'll veto, but Republicans join Democrats to override it to end the shutdown? You can get all that and more by signing up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Bill Berrien has dropped out of the governor's race. We'll talk about how he went about burying his campaign Coming up from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Wright-Lum.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
Following Brewers Sunday home games, all kids ages 14 and under can come down to the field and run the bases at American Family Field, courtesy of Aurora Healthcare. The post-game kids run the bases line begins along the first baseline on the field level.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
If you or someone you love is struggling, you are not alone. September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Call or text 988 anytime to connect with the Crisis Lifeline. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the program, our usual Tuesday guests, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who has the Below the Beltway newsletter direct from the nation's capital. But never mind tomorrow. I haven't told you what's coming up yet today. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along in just a bit. She had a busy weekend, and we'll hear about her getting together with some of her old rodent buddies in Gopherland. Selena Heller will be here, and she has a report about public pensions, public employee pensions, and how in Iowa, Republican politicians have been working to undermine that. Is that something we should be watching warily from over here in Wisconsin? We'll talk to author Laura Bird. This week will mark a National Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation for the tragedy that was Native American boarding schools in this state, and there are several books that she recommends to learn more about it. We will have a guest at 7:35 talking about artificial intelligence and AI cybersecurity. Apparently, the amount of phishing emails being generated by AI and being made to look more and more real and fool more and more people is extremely concerning. And so we'll talk about the things that you can look out for. And if you're connected to a business in some way, shape, or form, what that business ought to be doing to try to avoid phishing scams. We'll have Jane Mattenair telling us what's coming up on her program. We will also have in our next hour the Go for the Green and Gold contest keyword of the morning. We'll have a keyword coming up after 7 o'clock. You'll have to text it to us before 8 o'clock, and that'll be the first of seven opportunities to enter the contest where you can get cash and jewelry as daily prizes and the grand prize ticket package to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a Green Bay home game, a little football to be played in November with some great indoor seats, a wonderful prize package to tell you about. Again, that is right after the 7 o'clock news. All right. Well, on Friday, there were some changes to the 2026 candidate field already, which I know feels weird because it feels like candidates are still getting in, and they are. There are more candidates to come yet in these races, but a couple of candidates have already exited. In the 3rd Congressional District in western Wisconsin and part of central Wisconsin, there have been three Democrats who have been looking to take out Derek Van Orden next year in the general election. But first, you have to get through a primary in August of next year. And those include Becca Cook, who ran against Van Orden last time around. There's Emily Berge, the Eau Claire City Council president. And there's Laura Benjamin, also of Eau Claire and a former Eau Claire City Council member. And Laura Benjamin announced on Friday that she was suspending her campaign. And then the bigger news came out of the race for governor, where Bill Berrien has dropped out of the race. The businessman who appeared to be an unlikely candidate for governor from the beginning became less so each time he tried to answer questions. And then especially when he tried to answer questions about his web browsing history, which, again, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. It's a different thing when you demonize certain people, and then it turns out that that's a part of your web browsing history. That was Bill Berrien when it came to the transsexual community. So Bill Berrien put out a statement that said, quote, "After hunting down war criminals in Bosnia as a Navy SEAL platoon leader, I had no idea that running for political office could be almost as dangerous." Berrien said he considers himself very intellectually curious, believing it to be a strength to show broad intellectual interest. The media cherry-picked a handful of individuals and articles that came across my social media feed that I then followed without the faintest clue as to an author's lifestyle choices 6 or 7 years ago, and painted a salacious and sensational picture that was clearly targeted to force me out of this governor's race. I respond, "No, sweetie, nobody forced you out. You did that all by yourself. You ran on a platform of targeting people for scorn, and potential government targeting had you won. You referred to transsexual people as engaging in, quote, radical social experimentation. Well, part of the process of learning about new candidates for office is to ask questions and see what kind of a record they've made of themselves. Sometimes it's the words that we say and write. Sometimes it's the actions that we take. Not knowing at the time that we'll be a candidate someday, but the record is there just the same. And in the internet age, that includes the things you choose to follow publicly. So candidates' past interests come up and show what could be construed as hypocrisy, it actually gives you an opportunity. It's a free window to clarify your values." And Bill Berrien could have simply acknowledged curiosity. Bill Berrien could have referenced a desire to learn more about a vulnerable group so that he could potentially be an ally to them as governor. That's not what he did. Instead, he lashed out and he blamed others and gave us this, baloney about cherry picking and the media, and then said running for office is almost as dangerous as being a Navy SEAL platoon leader. I got to say that between his candidacy and what we've seen out of Derek Van Orden, Navy SEALs are going to have a tough time running for office in the future if this is the caliber of candidates that they get. Thank you for your service. You're tough people. You're brave people. But again, that doesn't automatically make you a great candidate or a congressman or a governor. Same goes for Bill Berrien's business experience. It may be very laudable, may be noteworthy, may be successful. That's not enough of a qualification to make you governor, much less the candidate for governor who can win over the most voters. Politics actually is harder than a lot of people want to acknowledge. It takes work, and running for governor without serving at any other office level first is not something that most people would recommend who've been inside there. So, Bill, you are in charge of burying your own campaign. We wish you well in the future. Coming up next, today's history lesson and more TV tunes. Yep, it's another TV tune quiz coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Dairy producers thought changes to the federal milk marketing orders would improve their position in the marketplace. It hasn't. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and their voices are being heard in Washington, D.C. Zippy Duval is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation.
The news is not good when it comes to what we call make allowance. The make allowance determines what is deducted from farmers' check to help pay for the cost of processing. In just 3 months, America's dairy farmers have lost more than $337 million because of the increase in make allowances. USDA is now required to survey processors' costs every other year, but has yet to announce a timeline. We urge USDA to move quickly to schedule the new cost survey so that future hearings reflect the actual processing costs.
Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. What happened to the dairy markets on Friday? I've got numbers next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 162.25. 40-pound block cheese down 1.25 cents, 162.5. But AA butter on Friday finished the week another 8 cents stronger at $1.72 per pound. This morning in Chicago, October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 7, $16.86. November, up 21 at $16.39. Currently, December new crop corn, that's down a penny, stands at $4.21. November new crop beans, down 3.5 at $10.10. July wheat, currently up a half at $5.61 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. Remember, World Dairy Expo 2025 officially opens to the general public tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. Follow the Midwest Farm Report team at MidwestFarmReport.com or any of the social media streams you follow. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events
programs around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Well, here we go. Today's history lesson starts out by marking the 81st birthday of TV theme composer Mike Post. He has written themes for the A-Team, as you heard there. He's written TV themes for The White Shadow, NYPD Blue, LA Law, Quantum Leap, The Greatest American Hero, Black Sheep Squadron, Blossom, Hardcastle and McCormick, Hunter, News Radio, Wise Guy, and many more. In fact, let's see if you can name some of Mike Post's better-known themes. That's right. It's time for another edition of TV Tunes Pop Quiz. Here's our contestant. She's a gal from Kakana who traveled to the big city of Minneapolis, dressed up as a rodent for sports events, and now delivers babies and is known internationally for telling right-wing politicians to get the hell out of her exam room. It's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, everybody.
Well, hey, everybody. I thought maybe it was Mr. T's birthday.
No, nothing like that. It's, Mike Post and all of his TV themes. And if Selena jumps in here, we'll let her take part in the little contest as well.
Okay. And hey, I'm going to need some help.
You can play along at home by texting us through the Civic Media app or putting something in the Facebook or the YouTube comments.
Please.
For absolutely no prize, because we just made this up and we don't have a budget for this bit. So
please do it. Please.
I've got four more Mike Post TV themes to share. Let's see if you can name them. Contestant Kristen Lyerly, are you ready?
No, I'm not.
you are more than you know. Here is Mike Post tune number one.
Oh, I think that they're doing a dance to this on TikTok right now. It's SVU, yes. Right?
Yes, it's Law and Order. SVU is one of them. Yes, we'll accept that. There you go. Here's Mike Post TV theme number two.
Oh, I definitely know that, but I cannot tell you what it is.
If I told you James Garner was the star, would that help at all?
Oh, The Rockford Files.
There you go. Very nice. Look at you. Two for two. All
yay.
Right. Here we go. Here's Mike Post TV theme number three.
These songs are so groovy.
Helicopter. Think big bushy mustache.
Is it Magnum PI?
Yes, it is. There you go. Three for three.
That was definitely one that did not even come through my brain before it came out of my mouth. It came right from the gut.
There you go. It was Tom Selleck. It was a shirtless Tom Selleck that did it. Does it for everybody. I understand.
Hi. Yeah, the mustache.
Here we go. Mike Post TV theme number four. Cop Show, 1980s.
St. Elsewhere?
No, Hill Street Blues. I'm sorry. Oh, you were so close.
Yep.
And this last one, I'm thinking either you're definitely getting this one or not. It's chosen just for you.
Good odds there.
Mike Post TV theme number five.
This is ER, isn't it?
Nope. We're close. Good guess.
Yeah. It's a medical show, though.
Of course it is, yes.
Because of the pinging.
Yes. Oh. With a very young doctor.
Doogie Howser.
There you go. Congratulations. You got four out of five there.
Ish.
ish. With some clues. Yes. Tony
remember
on YouTube.
Back like, in the
Pat
day.
Missed his calling as a TV game show host. No, Pat started as a TV game show host.
Oh, really?
At the college TV station at UW-Eau Claire. Yes. That was the host of their Family Feud knockoff, Wing Feud, where wings of roommates from different dorms would compete against each other.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Oh, if only it were like now, where there would actually be some footage and we'd be able to see it.
There is footage.
There is footage.
It's buried somewhere. I'm sure it's not on YouTube and may never leave my basement. We'll see. But that is also how I knew early on in college that Sherry was the right one for me. Because we had a knockoff version of the Newlywed Game called the Roommate Game, where you and your roommate come on and you are asked questions about each other like the Newlywed Game.
We had one.
Well, Sherry and I, one of the roommate groups didn't show up. And so for comedy relief, they put me and Sherry on. We're not roommates. We're living in two different dorms. We hardly know each other. We just started dating, and yet we won. We got all the questions right about each other.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. So yeah, I've got a little game show stuff. How are you, by the way? You had a busy weekend.
Super busy weekend, but so much fun. And to Jim in Brookfield, first of all, I hope you're healing well from your new knee. Second of all, I did, in fact, give Goldie Gopher a high five because as I was going to the tailgate, the game started at 11. I, of course, was getting there at 7 because I'm a Packer fan. I know how to tailgate.
Yeah, you
and
do.
Who comes flying down University Avenue on some sort of a scooter with Goldie's face, but some person who is probably Goldie's special assistant with a big duffel bag slung over his back. So I go chasing after him like a crazy person on my crutches.
Yes.
And he stopped and we chatted for a little while. He took a picture. I gave him a high five. So mission accomplished.
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
This crazy stalker lady was chasing me.
Oh yeah. He definitely looked over his shoulder a couple times as he kept going. I'm like, no way. Just seriously. There's it. Please.
Oh. Look at that. All right. Another TV theme in today's history lesson. This one not written by Mike Post, but it was a TV show that premiered this day in 1982. Sometimes you want to go where
everybody knows your name. Well, this one's so familiar.
It is hard to Cheers. Premiered this day 43 years ago. How can that be?
Have you been to the Cheers bar?
No, have not. We did on it like a bus tour in Boston, you know, we drove past it, but of course they're like, there's 100 people waiting in line on the sidewalk to get in. Like, no, we'll just keep going. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Now I've got a movie soundtrack for you here. On this day in 1977, a group named Miko had a number one hit with their version of one of the tunes from the original Star Wars movie. Of course, was the Cantina Band theme from Star Wars. This day in 1977 was the number one song in the country.
Yeah. Huh. It was just the beginning. We had no idea what Star Wars would become.
No idea. It was this cute little movie, you know, in space. We're not going to hear about it after this year. We were wrong. On this day in 1963, the Rolling Stones got their first concert tour as an opening act. That's a pretty cool Rolling Stones opening for Bo Diddley and the Everly Brothers. There's a lineup.
Wow. Although you can kind of see the evolution there.
Oh, yeah.
With the book. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That would have been great. Yes. We're going to go way up to 1990 now. The number one song 35 years ago today was by the hair band Nelson. I can't live without your love and affection. Are you looking at the video clip there? Do you realize they could be any one of these three could be Kristen right now, Kristen Wiley, or either one of the Nelson brothers, the exact same hair.
I did not.
Twins.
Blonde hair.
They're twins. Very much. They're Ricky Nelson's kids.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Yeah. And their sister Tracy was in Square Pegs. Ask me a question about the Nelson family. I don't know why. Nelson family trivia. Hey.
See, that's the trivia question.
There you go.
Show I bet it should have been ready for. The Las Vegas Sphere opened on this day in 2023 with a concert by U2. So 2 years ago was that. And I've got a text line coming in for you. Jim from Brookfield says, thank you, Dr. Lyerly. for tracking down Goldie for a high five, one of the Big Ten's better mascots.
Yay! Thanks, Jim.
All right, let's see. On this day in 1977, Billy Joel released a little album, just a studio album, Stranger. It did all right. Songs like title track and She's Always a Woman, Only the Good Die Young, Moving Out, Vienna, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, sold more than 12 million copies. So I guess it did all right.
You know, there's a great documentary, a rockumentary about Billy Joel. I think it's on Apple.
I can't believe I haven't watched it yet. I have to watch this.
It's so good. I love those rockumentaries that don't like sugarcoat things and they talk about like the grit and the real life stuff. And this one does that. And I loved every minute of it.
I just keep forgetting to sit down and watch that thing. So I can do that. I was thinking of maybe watching last night's Packer game, that the parts that I missed because I recorded the game when I went to bed, but I clearly won't need to do that, so that's just fine. And finally, on this day 41 years ago, the number one song was by Prince. All right, on the national day calendar, we've noted that it is National Coffee Day, which is a day of mourning for Parker because he does not take part. But you got well, or a day of nothingness for you. No coffee there.
This is a
regular
day. Every
day is a mourning day for Parker.
That's true.
Right. Morning. Yes.
Yeah. Morning. Chris has got her favorite coffee. We did it. I know we asked you before if you have a favorite coffee spot in your neck of the woods that you like to plug.
Mm-hmm. Kavarna Coffee on the west side of Green Bay. Love that place.
Yep. And I don't know what they have, but a whole lot of other coffee shops have specials going on today. So if you've got a favorite coffee shop, if you don't stop there every day, maybe today is the day to do that and find yourself a deal. I got a deal on a coffee or on a mug. I got that Quick Trip mug. Did you get a Quick Trip mug at the Brewer game Saturday, Parker?
I did. I was very happy about it. Did you?
Yep. Yes, I did too. Yeah. Very nice. And I was going to show up at like every Quick Trip on the way home yesterday from Madison and stop and just impress people like, ooh, you got the new Brewers mug.
Now, see,
yes, I do.
I read it wrong, and I thought that we could use that in the stadium. So I like brought it with. I realized it before we got somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, I was a little disappointed with that.
No, you get to use it every day after this, though. Let's see. Today is International Awareness of Food Loss and Waste.
Oh, that is interesting.
That is a good one, especially
because we waste like half of the food that we buy.
Yes. So, you know, if you can do, composting or just be more aware of the food you're throwing away, that's a good thing.
Oh, wait. Shout out to Rooted in Green Bay that takes that food that otherwise would go in the garbage or in the compost and repurposes it and makes sure that people get to eat it. How about that?
There you go.
That is good. Yes.
Twofer.
Let's see. It's World Heart Day. So take good care of your heart.
Mm.
That's all we
good day to make your preventive care appointment.
Oh, very good. Go. See? Yeah, I knew there'd be an angle from you. Mm-hmm. And this is also Silent Movie Day. The jazz singer from, what was it, 1927 premiered this week. What was the movie that won like all these Academy Awards and things? It was a silent movie like about 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch it.
The artist, yeah, the artist, right? I think that's what it was.
Something like that. It was black and white too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everybody thought, oh, this is so revolutionary. But is it going to bring back silent movies? No, it did not. Yeah. It turns out we actually like having sound on our movies, kind of like on the radio. We can't do silent radio; it doesn't work well that way.
It's pretty hard to do that well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some people would say it's better though, depending on the show.
Depends on the program. Yeah, debatable. Absolutely.
There are some warnings.
Yes. Still coming up, we'll be visited by Selena Heller from Up North News, who is going to tell us about a story that she's working on for our sister outlet in Iowa about Republican attacks on the public employee retirement system and whether we could see something like that here in Wisconsin someday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back on a Monday morning, September 29th, 2025. It is just about 6:53. Selena Heller from Up North News joins us as well. Ms. Heller, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
A little chagrin that you decided to skip our Mike Post TV theme contest. I'm sure you would have done really well.
Shoot. I don't drink coffee either, Parker. So
I need your help. I'm not crazy about that.
No, absolutely not. Selena is going to be telling us after the 7 o'clock news about threats to the public employee retirement system in Iowa and whether we could see something like that here in Wisconsin. But we've got a little bit of breaking news in the governor's race. We talked earlier this hour about Bill Berrien dropping out of the governor's race. Meanwhile, there is a new candidate. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that Missy Hughes, the former economic development chief under Governor Evers, has made official that she is joining the governor's race, pitching herself as a political outsider who will build a Main Street economy for the state. Missy Hughes served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation for the past 6 years before stepping down a few weeks ago. She said, "I'm not a politician, and that's the point. To create a prosperous economy for the future of all 72 counties, we need a leader who knows what it takes to create jobs, support workers, and attract businesses, and who rejects divisive politics that leaves so many behind." So we've already had some changes here, Kristen, in terms of, you know, one Republican candidate getting out, one new Democrat candidate getting in. So, I mean, we have a lot to learn about these folks yet, and whether you want people that have political experience versus business experience. Bill Berrien obviously did not have the business experience that was needed to be a good gubernatorial candidate, or web browsing experiences, as the case may be. So, you know.
This field is exciting, though, isn't it? Have you ever seen such a diverse field for Wisconsin governor in the past?
No, and I think that we are probably not done seeing candidates yet. Meanwhile, Selena over in the 3rd Congressional District, we've got one less candidate for governor, with Laura Benjamin getting out of the race on Friday for the 3rd Congressional District, which leaves us with Emily Berge, Eau Claire City Council President, and Becca Cook, who ran against Derek Van Orden last time around. So I did not know how long the Democratic field could sustain itself there with three Democrats, all women from the Eau Claire area, for a big sprawling district. And I'm sure for Emily Berge, it probably helps her as much as anybody else in that race.
Yep, they're always together at events and things, and made their presence really known. So they both had good words at all of the events that I've been to. So I guess we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, for Emily Berge and those who support her, looking at whether Rebecca Cook, you know, essentially had her chance and wasn't able to do it, or for those people who back Rebecca Cook, saying that she came close and she should be given the opportunity to do it again. We'll find out between now and August what Democratic voters in the 3rd Congressional District primary have to say about that. Kristen, you went to Minnesota this week for your alma mater and cheering on a little football. You could not have picked a better weather weekend for a little college football action.
It was incredible. We had such a blast, and I have just the greatest friends on earth. So that was really nice.
Aww.
And, you know, I also had this, like, being in a big city, people are a little bit different than where I live. And it was just so cool to be surrounded by members of the LGBTQ community. A couple of my friends' kids are trans and gay, and they're just so comfortable in their skin. And it's really different than here, where, you know, people are less comfortable. You know, they don't feel like they are supported in that environment. And when you bring that back to Bill Berrien, and I'm not saying that he is a member of that community, but just looking at the web browsing history, looking at how this article brought him down, I think we've got a long way to go when it comes to community and respecting each other and just being our authentic selves.
Well, right. And that's the point that I've been trying to make here, is that the issue isn't the web browsing, and the problem isn't curiosity and wanting to know more about yourself or other people in other groups. It's to, you know, basically be extremely critical of people in other groups and then find out you were visiting sexually explicit websites from those same groups. Again, he had the opportunity to put himself out there as saying, well, I was looking to learn more, I want to be an ally, etc. And instead he just lashed out at the media and left the race.
And maybe I'm naive, but I do believe that people still want to believe who their leaders are and still want them to be truthful and to know that their leaders are going to stand for them. And it hasn't felt that way for the last couple of years, because we've seen this, like, ridiculous division and polarization. But I think we're coming back to that. Gut feeling.
Hope so. Selena, what'd you do for the weekend?
I went to lots of things. The Altoona Ginormous Pumpkin Festival.
Oh.
That's always an annual event. So the largest pumpkin festival, I'm trying to find the winner. It was like 2,400 pounds.
What?
Last year was 2,500. And that was a record for the site. So some really big pumpkins. And this area is a really good place to be to grow them for the growers, because of the, like, temperatures, and I don't know how they go about this, but it's a really labor of love for all these giant pumpkin growers.
They hauled one of them up and smashed it.
Yes, they lift, and this year it was 800 to 1,000 pounds. They hollow it out. Get the seeds out, because they're kind of valuable. They sell big seeds.
Well, yeah.
And then they fill it with candy and then lift it up and then let it go, and it drops, and all the kids run and they get candy. It's crazy.
Don't drop it on the kids. Yeah. So,
no, okay. They say the kids can't run until they hear the thud on the ground, and then And it was just a mad dash. It was a bazillion.
It's like the NFL. Faster. There's a landing zone, and you have to wait for the landing zone for the pumpkin or the ball to get in there. It's right. One more on the text line from Jim in Brookfield. Thank you also, Dr. Lyerly, for my knee replacement wishes. Yes, recovery is going well. The ice machine is wrapped over my knee and running as I type this. It's an incentive that you were in Minnesota this past weekend so soon after your replacement surgery. No, Jim, that should not be an incentive. That should be a cautionary tale. Listen to your doctor and go easy, lest you have a setback. More with Kristen and Selena coming up after the 7 o'clock news. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police are still looking for a motive in the Michigan church shooting and fire that left four people dead.
Authorities say the suspect, 40-year-old Thomas Jacob Sanford, is a Marine veteran who served in Iraq. A fundraising website from 2015 indicating his son was born with a rare genetic disorder, the treatment for which apparently took a financial toll on the family. Sanford is quoted in a local newspaper saying, "Don't ever take having healthy kids for granted. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps and was in Iraq, and this is still the most unique thing to deal with."
ABC's Morgan Norwood. Police say Sanford drove his pickup into the church, then opened fire. He was killed by officers. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is at the White House today for meetings with President Trump on ending the war in Gaza. The president will also sit down with Republican and Democratic leaders ahead of a possible government shutdown. Luxury real estate developer Dar Global entering an agreement with the Trump Organization to build another Trump-branded property in